Now, Cataplex B, this was released in 1931. It was reported to help with cardiac arrhythmias of all sorts. And when Lee was asked how and why it could do that, he said, I don't know. He didn't have a clear-cut explanation. It wasn't until 1935 that Carter's work in England revealed the presence of the pigeon heart block factor, which he called vitamin B4 for lack of anything else. Now, you won't find that in any modern textbook. The last textbook you'll find it discussed in is the 1953 third edition of Prescott and Bicknell's Vitamins in Medicine, the last of the really good nutrition source books. They couldn't figure out what it was. It was called B4, but they said, we don't know if it's just a unique combination of known B vitamins or if it is in fact a new molecule or new structure that we have not yet identified. Lee said, I don't care. I know where to get it. I know how to concentrate it. I know how to put it in a tablet. I know how to help sick people get well. Why is a different question. He looked at the preliminary work and produced Cataplex B. It's in a base of liver powder, nutritional yeast, chitlins. Desiccated duodenum. What is that? What he knew was this was before the era of the intrinsic factor of Castle and the importance of some duodenal cell secretions in absorbing things through the lining of the gut. What he knew was there was something secreted by the duodenal cells that was essential to absorb the nutrients for the B complex. And so he put a small amount in. Beetroot powder and juice, trace minerals, coenzymes, other factors that he said now we would call phytochemicals. Again, he said, I don't know why, I do know what. Carrot powder. We wouldn't think of that as a B complex synergist, but indeed it is. Wheat germ would make sense. Desiccated adrenal, again, other cofactors. And cocarboxylase, that is the active form from animal tissue of the thiamine molecule as TPP, thiamine pyrophosphate. And here's pyridoxal 5-phosphate. Now we've seen in cattle, and there's pyridoxine hydrochloride, which is the synthetic precursor extract for B6, but here is the active form. This is the form that we actually need, pyridoxal 5-phosphate. Now, where does that come from? Well, not much from plants, because they don't need that form. So here we have the active form, and there was other stuff on the label, most of which involves the binding and production. Now, nobody makes anything like this anywhere. Everybody takes a balanced B1 billion, you know, buy one and get 50 free. It's cheap. Most of it produced in Columbus, Ohio, the coal tar extract. And again, the issue is not the molecule. You know, it's not like Mobil 1 in tablet form. You know, it's a pure extract of those molecules, but just those molecules. It certainly isn't food, nor is it a nutrient product. It's a pharmacologic dose of specific molecules. Nobody does anything like this. And I don't, you know, I go in the health, how many like to go in health food stores and look around? I love it. Go in there and look at all the products that are on the shelf. I mean, there are good things there, but there's a lot of fecal material there too. And it's amazing what they'll do with the bees. They'll load in lots of stuff, but it's still just a package around the synthetic bees in large amounts. Nobody anywhere makes anything like this. I've looked at everybody's product, everybody's catalog. I get them all in the mail. Nobody understands apparently why to do that. Nobody wants to because it cuts the profit margin so deeply. This is not a high profit way to do things. It is an effective way, but not the way to rake in the big bucks. Low systolic blood pressure. Cataplex B tends to, if it has an effect on blood pressure, it tends to elevate it because it increases the integrity of the venous system and tightens everything up. So it may have, if at all, a blood pressure increasing effect. I've never had a case where that was significant enough that I could not use B. Here's how to determine if it's an issue. If they have high blood pressure, and I am led to want to give them Cataplex B, then get a systolic and diastolic reading, Have them relaxed. Have them chew 2 or 3 B. That alone will eliminate any psychosomatic disorders. Because they'd rather give it up than chew these again. So this is often instantaneous healing. Wait about 10 minutes and check the systolic again. You may see a slight rise, a few millimeters, and if so, 10 minutes later, that's all you see, or you see nothing, then don't worry about it. If they're going to react strongly to this, if they've chewed it, not if they swallow it, if they've chewed it, within 10, maybe 15 minutes at the outside, you'll see a spike of 10 millimeters or more. In that case, you may have to balance it with the blood pressure lowering product, which is cataplexy G, that we'll look at next. But I haven't had any case where I couldn't do it because of that. Now, fatigue immediately after meals, lactic acidosis, this is especially true for high carbohydrate consumers. Even the good complex carbs for carbohydrate intolerant people, which is the vast majority of Americans, they will go into lactic acidosis. Here's what happens. If you're living on Wonder Bread, which helps rot bodies 12 ways, you know, they strip out everything good and spray back a few of these synthetic extracts and tell you it's wholesome, it's good for you. You'll be an Olympic athlete if you eat this. What happens is this. When I eat a high level of carbohydrate, I get lots and lots of glycogen storage, lots and lots of glucose circulating. All this stuff has got to be processed. I end up with a high overload of acetyl-CoA ready to go into the Krebs cycle to be oxidized for energy, right? So the acetyl-CoA train is loaded because I took in lots of white trash. It's got to be processed through. At the point of entry into the Krebs cycle, guess what's required to get the acetyl-CoA in? The B complex, and in particular, cocarboxylase. But I'm living on Wonder Bread. I don't have any of that. And what I do have is devoid of all of its synergists, so I'm slowly robbing my reserves anyway. So the caboose slows down, I can't get through. They end up dumping the acetyl-CoA, since it can't go into the Krebs cycle. It drops down through pyruvic acid, forms lactic acid. They end up in a state of lactic acidosis. They're fatigued because there's no Krebs cycle activity taking place, and the acidosis itself stimulates free nerve endings, and they're on edge. These are hyperkinetic kids. These are ADD cases in the main. Every ADD case I've worked with has been an overconsumer of white trash. I've had them in my office with the parents wanting to know what to do, and literally the last one was 12 with candy falling out of his pockets. I mean falling out on the floor. Now, the problem most of the time with those cases isn't the child. It's the parents who won't understand what we need to do. I've told them, here's a child who needs to go straight into ketosis, a ketogenic diet, at least initially. We can turn around the biochemical problem, assuming there isn't an actual brain lesion, very quickly by going into a ketogenic diet and work our way out. But the last, if you ever wanted to hit a patient, who will admit to wanting to hit a patient or having like a cattle prod stun gun?
Hey!
Yeah, I don't want to do permanent physical damage. I just want to get your attention. Here was a case where the child could not sit still. He was in agony. It was obvious. He looked at me. I was talking to the parents, and I kind of positioned it so that I was having a dialogue with him, and they were kind of out of the loop. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes. Imagine this scene. And he said, "Doctor, I want to be good. Can you help me?" Ooh, that hurts. So then I talked to the parents about what I want to try. I said, look, if this doesn't work, this drastic dietary change, no harm, then at least we know. And they were vegetarians. They didn't think this was a good thing. Did you ever want to hit a patient? Actually, I wanted to kill them. I didn't want to hit them. I wanted to just vaporize them. Bzz, bzz, I'll adopt the child and we'll begin. Because of their philosophic construct, he was locked in. Their diet for him was all carbohydrates. The very thing that I firmly believed and still do was a major contributor to his problem. They were enforcing. Oh, they agreed a little sugar was, you know, probably okay. You know, no more than 2 or 3 Hershey bars a day. He's probably overdoing it. And I said, there's nothing I can do for you. And in fact, the problem isn't him at all. The problem is you. In fact, I got so irate that I ended up saying to them, I question whether you really love this child. I question why you're here. Are you here because he's an inconvenience for you? Needless to say, they didn't refer anybody after that visit.
What did the child respond with?
Yeah, and in the courtroom, as I tried to answer the charges, I just about lost it on that one. Now, most parents just want to know, and they just don't know. But still, it's a problem for them to deal with the child. I recommend Velcro all over the child and on your wall so that you can just throw him against the wall and he'll stick for a while. It's tough, for the truly Ritalin dependent and deficient cases. But we work with them. If they'll make the dietary change and do the nutritional support that we will come to, we can get good result. But they're in a state of lactic acidosis. That's part of that hyperkinetic activity. They are literally free nerve ending burning because of the acidosis. And that part can be stopped quickly. For that reason, all of teenage America, it's kind of automatic when they walk in. They need Cataplex B. All I need is an age check. Yeah. You're a teenager, Cataplex B, 500 per day. What are they eating? The hot spot at the local high school where one of my kids goes is Java Rama at lunch. Double latte loaded with sugar and 3 bear claws. Now look. Now hey. My name is Michael. I'm a carboholic. Hello, Michael. I could die with a smile with the bear claw and that kind of stuff and a few Haagen-Dazs cartons laying around me. I am a carboholic. That's why I just do not eat those things. Is there any wonder why they do that at lunch and then go back to school and beat each other up, shoot each other? What is their biochemical state? Go look at the high school lunch menu. Now look, the average American consumes between 300 and 600 grams of carbohydrates per day. The average metabolic need is between 80 and 100 grams of carbohydrates. Beyond that, you force increased triglyceride production as the body scrambles to try to handle all this. It doesn't need it. And so we poison ourselves by the mouthful. We'll come to that later.
What about the athlete who loads up on the carbohydrates?
Question is, what about the athlete who's been trained improperly, in my humble but absolutely correct opinion? What about the carbo loading? Well, the cycle is turning. You see, 25 years ago, the top athletes knew about the importance of restricting carbohydrates and loading up on fat, good fat. But then some books came out, and then they went to carbo loading. And what happened was performance did not actually overall increase, it decreased. Stamina, short-term, went up, but long-term endurance went down. Now, they're coming back and realizing this isn't working the way we thought. So now they're dropping many of the more aware, the enlightened few, are going back to, in many cases now, an 80% fat, good fat, pre-competition diet. And they're finding they're breaking their own records. Think about the fuel. What is the optimum fuel source? Fat, by 2 to 1. We have to remember, we got to think of carbohydrate as like kindling in the fire. It's kindling. We're not supposed to burn all kindling, but that's the American way. Thank you, General Mills. We put the kindling on, a small amount of carbohydrate to keep the oxidation reductive processes going. The log on the fire should be the fat. The log comes, floats in, and now we burn this until the next meal. Genetically, that next meal should be when? Down there somewhere. We'll get some food later. We got to go kill it and eat it or something. But not in America. When we take the kindling, we get the carbohydrate. That provides the right now energy need. Where does the fat go? The dietary fat is converted to a temporary storage form, triacylglycerol or triglycerides. Triglyceride is a good thing if all of this happens properly. I burn the kindling, I get rid of that ready reserve, the nitro. Now I should draw back through the liver into the bloodstream, gluconeogenesis. I can convert the triglycerides back into glucose. A nice, slow, steady burn. The Mazda goes, that's the way it should be. Burn butter, butter's better. All right? But not in America. Just about the time the body says, okay, let's get that big log on the fire. We'll eat several hours from now. Not here. It's time for a snack. More kindling. We keep dumping in kindling. Even if it's complex kindling, it burns too fast, and we get more and more triglyceride. As the triglyceride level builds up and up and up, now it becomes a problem. The fat wasn't a problem. It's the fat in combination with excessive carbohydrate intake that screws up the liver and everything else. Some now estimate, studies last year estimate, that the single dominant causative factor, perhaps, in all degenerative disease is high circulating levels of insulin, period. It is linked to everything. It is linked to polycystic ovary syndrome. It's linked to multiple sclerosis. Lou Gehrig's, they're finding links all over the place. Whoa! Maybe Wonder Bread isn't so wondrous after all. So, these are things we have to consider, and that always involves the B complex, because in eating the refined carbohydrates, that is the dominant thing that has been removed, which further compounds the problem. It makes a bad situation even worse. So at least for the carboholic, give them cataplex B while you start to re-educate and show them, this is wheat, eat this. This is wheat the way it really grows. This is a bean, try a bean. Beans are good.
Polycystic ovary is a result of carbohydrates?
Yep, we'll come back to that. Poor muscle tone, muscle pain after exercise. This is lactic acidosis. Inability to completely break down the acetyl-CoA carbohydrate loading can lead to that. Often the same carbohydrate-loaded athlete is in agony afterward because of a buildup of lactic acid. Edema, slow heart rate, slow pulse can be because of lack in the Krebs cycle. Lee was asked once what he thought was the number one cause of sudden heart failure in high school athletes. We think this is a new thing. Kids were dropping dead on the basketball court in the 40s and 50s. He said they run out of gas. That's a B deficiency. And there comes a point where the last little molecule of acetyl-CoA gets into the Krebs cycle and there's no more gas. They can't do it. And they stop just like that. He said that's a B deficiency when it just quits as though unplugged. General lack of energy, arrhythmias, bundle branch block, sensitive to lights, sound, smell. Now, this means it would appear to be psychologic, but actually it's back up here to irritation of free nerve endings because of lactic acidosis. So the patient who's suddenly overly sensitive to everything, and it isn't an immune issue, is often in a state of lactic acidosis. Chronic need for hydrochloric acid containing products. The patient who always needs Zypam or betaine hydrochloride, and they're young and shouldn't need this. We do secrete less as we age, but a person who shouldn't is probably deficient in the B complex that's involved in production of hydrochloric acid. How many per day? Well, typically 6 was Lee's recommended dose, 2-3 times per day. And even if you take 6, you only get less than 300% of the RDA for thiamine. It wasn't overloading, not hundreds of times, but making sure there was enough there in the natural food base to get it into the system.